Icebreaker, Breaker, One-Niner, get your ears on for the Fitness Skills Podcast from GMB. Over the next half hour or so, we're going to teach you how to do a lot of cool stuff that's going to hopefully, translate into the rest of your life being a better place to live. I'm Andy Fawcett, and here with me is the epic hero of the GMB saga, Ryan Hurst, our program director and head coach. Ryan, are you ready to drop the hammer on the podcast today?
Let's drop it. My dog is sitting here next to me, looking at me, saying, "Come on, let's get this going, because I need to go for a walk."
All right. Well, hopefully we can get this podcast taken care of before your dog poops all over your mat.
Yes.
So today we're going to talk about the details, because that's where the devil is. We're going to talk about details, which ones are important, which ones you really don't need to worry about. We're going to talk about creating the perfect ultimate AM routine and the perfect ultimate PM routine for optimizing your testosterone and your hormones and your thyroid and your mobility and your strength growth and your muscle maximization and everything.
Did you say flexibility?
Flexibility. Flexibility, yeah. We gotta make sure that our routine optimizes our flexibility. And also, the most important part of our routine is that it correctly partitions the macronutrient profile to some other BS. So we're going to talk about that kind of stuff later on. You can see how these topics of details and routines might be somewhat interrelated. Before we get to that, though, let's open the mailbag, the virtual mailbag of random questions that people have sent us over the past week or so. For Ryan, you mentioned your dog Bree a couple seconds ago. Why don't you talk about your dog? People want to know about your dog. People actually ask us in email, what kind of dog does Ryan have?
All right, my
they don't care about how to do more muscle ups. They want to know what dog you have.
You know, it's about the dog. Yeah, my dog's name is actually Brian Artio, but we call her Bree for short. She's a Staffordshire Bull Terrier, or if in the United States, a lot of people say Staffordshire Bull Terrier. Staffy for short. She's an awesome girl. She's my first little girl. She is, I'm trying to think, 8 years old, a little over 8 years old right now. And she can still sprint faster than me. She is a fast little dog.
She is a fast dog.
She's a fast dog, I tell you what. I have a lot of fun when we go to the park because a lot of the kids there try to outrun her, and it gives them a good workout. And Bree also. She's a good girl, loves kids. I don't actually bring her to the gym with me too often. You know, some kids have allergies, things like that. Unfortunately, can't bring her. But she's a great mascot for our stuff over here in Japan. So that's all about my dog, Bree.
Very cool, very cool. So then let's also get sort of back on topic more with here's another question that I think is actually a really good one that maybe I can see why people are interested. Like, what got you into coaching?
Oh, yeah, that's actually very, very easy. When I started gymnastics, my coach, still a good friend of mine, by the way, name is Mark Folger. He was such an influence in my life that, you know, as I got older, I started gymnastics when I was about 5 or 6, maybe a little after that. When I got into high school, I needed a part-time job. And Mark said, "Hey, listen, one of these days, maybe if you ever think about coaching, it would be good if you actually had the experience first." And so he gave me a part-time job helping out, teaching some of the classes at the gym. So I would work out and, you know, because I was on the gymnastics team. And so we would do about 3.5 to 4 hours. And then after that, I would help teach some of the classes. And so that experience and Mark, the way he taught, really shaped a lot of the future ideas in my head for what I wanted to do. Then I went to Niigata, Japan for university. I was lived with my kendo instructor's family, and his teaching also was a big influence for me. And, you know, just kind of happened. I just always wanted to help people share what I knew. And the funny thing is, you know, when you're young and you first start off, you think you know a lot of stuff. But as you, you know, become a better coach, you realize that you actually learn more from teaching people and from what they're doing. And it helps in your own life. And so that's what got me into coaching was Mark originally. And from there, I was just very fortunate to have other wonderful coaches to help me kind of shape the way that I teach. And it's always evolving, which is really cool. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Sometimes there might be coaches out there that just kind of stick to the way that they've always done it their whole life. And I think that if you are a coach out there, if you're a trainer, look at how you teach, how you approach your students as far as are they getting it? Are they, you know, do they understand what you're saying? And also understand that each person needs to be coached a different way. You know, study, learn from other coaches and do whatever you can to evolve. So that's about it.
Excellent. Yeah, that's very good. You know, I think the fact that you started training under Mark is maybe –
that's huge.
He's an excellent gymnastics coach, very well regarded in the gymnastics community. Yeah. And I know you learned a lot from not just training under him, but from working with him, also learning to coach.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Big cool. stuff.
Yeah. Very nice. So let's get into to kind of the meat of what we want to talk about today, because I think it's kind of a big topic, and definitely since there's things that are
sorry, my dog is freaking out. Sorry, everybody. Hey, Brianne, go sit down. Thank you. She's good when she listens. Sorry about that. Yeah, she's kind of freaking out. All right, so continue.
Well, since these things are so related, and we'll probably sprawl all over the place in this conversation, so let's just get into it. Let's talk first, though, about morning and evening routines, and let's talk first about morning, because you know, some people are morning people, some people aren't morning people, but everyone wakes up and has a routine, whether they realize it or not. You know, some people, their routine is to hit snooze on the clock like 58 times, you know, roll out of bed, crawl out from under the curtains, you know, and, or covers or whatever, and it's really hard, but that's also a routine. And so let's talk about what maybe a productive routine might be. first, let's set some parameters for what that has to do. Well, like, you know, what does a good morning routine for you, Ryan? What does that have to really cover for you?
Well, for me, the first thing is to make sure, and this is really tough on a day-to-day basis, but it's the mindset. And what I mean by that is, yeah, it's going to be tough to get out of bed in the morning. Well, for most people, it is for me too. But when you get out of bed, you have to get that mindset of, okay, I'm going to get my workout in. You just a mindset of, you know, not what you're going to necessarily do in your workout, but actually just showing up for it. That's huge. It can be very easy, just like you said, to hit the snooze button a gazillion times and say, no, today I'll just kind of sleep in and I'll get it in later. It's that mindset. And really, it comes down to, you know, your goal. That's it. We're not going to go too much into that. But basically, it's that mindset of saying, okay, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do my workout. Now, in my case, it's very necessary for me to get food in my stomach before I work out. And so I have a little routine. And I think this is very important. If you have kids, like I do, I have two children and a crazy-ass dog. You have to understand that day-to-day things might change a little bit, meaning you might not be able to stick to the clock. So wake up at 6:30 and then at 6:36 take your shower or something like that. You know, you have to understand that you might have to adjust it a little bit and not let that freak you out. That's a big part of the mental aspect of it too. But I get up, make sure that I hit the toilet. That's also very important because you got to make sure that
got to make room for your protein.
Yeah, that's basically, yeah, you know, it might sound funny, but make sure that you're regular. So I get food down the guzzle and then allow myself enough time to let it settle a little bit before I start my workout. So when I do my workout in the mornings, that is my time. No one is around me. I'm very lucky because I'm able to come to the gym, and I come to the gym very early in the morning, and it's just me. No one is here because no one comes here until nine in the morning. And so, you know, whatever time before that is my time. Nothing's going to bother me. I don't look at Facebook. I don't even use my phone. Well, nobody calls me anyway, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, I'll put some music on and I'll get into my workout. That's my time. So the morning, I think having a routine is very important. Making sure that the mindset is there is good. And then also having a place that you can go to that is constant. Sometimes if you're working, I think working out outside is very good, but you know, if it rains, you got to have a backup plan. But going back to making sure that you have a routine, remember that there might be days when the routine is slightly shifted for things that maybe you can't control. Don't freak out over it. Still focus on trying to at least show up for your workout. So that's it as far as a morning kind of deal. And to be honest, it could be almost the same for the evening. If you anything to add on to the morning thing there, Andy?
Well, yeah, a little bit. So you touched on this a little bit, but I also want to say that, so when we talk about routines, like, what is the purpose of a routine in the morning? You know,
there's
a few things that it should do. I mean, one is to wake your ass up.
Yep.
You know, physically, like, you know, we say get the blood pumping. It's not like the blood stops pumping when you're asleep, but I mean, your body shuts down to a degree. And so your morning routine needs to be something that gets your pulse rate up, gets your mind alert, gets your nervous system attuned to, you know, being upright and moving around. You know, some people have different needs. Some people have different, like, mobility issues that they gotta work on. And if they do it sooner, then the rest of their day is going to be able to, you know, have more freedom of motion. If you do a little stretch in the morning, I like to do a little stretch in the morning. It's not a hard stretch, but it's just to kind of, like establish in my body, okay, this is kind of the extent of where my leg can go today, you know? But just to do that and spend a couple of minutes kind of like doing something with your body, you know, like you work out first thing in the morning, but not everyone does that.
So maybe
just move a little bit and get your body kind of like awake, even if your workout is later on in the day. The other thing I think is really important that you definitely touched on is getting your mind right, you know, like not waking up and, you know, opening up email or Facebook while you're, you know, before you're even in a shower or anything, and just getting so scattered. Spend that first few minutes, that first half hour, if you're lucky enough to have that much time, on you or on you and your family, you know, however it works out for you. Lately, my daughter's been waking up. She's 14 months old, but she's been waking up a lot earlier, you know, and so I don't have quite as much free time. A couple months ago, my morning routine was to wake up, have a cup of coffee, and spend a few minutes reading before I really did anything. That was my time to just kind of like, you know, do that. But she's been waking up earlier, so I don't really have that time to do that anymore. But instead, I kind of play with her, and you know, that's when I do a little bit of my stretching on the floor when I'm playing with her. And it's actually, you know, it's a good way for us to both kind of like spend some time together and get ready for the rest of the day. So don't think that, you know, spending some time getting yourself right means you have to be locked in a monastery in the mountains.
Right.
You know, you can spend time with your family, but just don't scatter your attention early on. Don't jump straight into Facebook or something. Don't, you know, some people can do fine with reading the newspaper. If I try to read a newspaper, I'm going to start thinking about stuff that I don't want in my head yet.
But exactly. A novel or a book,
I can focus, you know?
Yeah.
So get your head straight, and then, you know, later on, when you, at your leisure, you can decide when it's time to sort of open up your mind to, like, other ideas and crazy stuff out there. So that's the thing that, you know, you didn't explicitly say, you kind of touched on it, but I think it's really important for people to realize, you know, a morning routine is not just about, like, prepping your body for your workout. It's about getting your mind right for the rest of your day and you know, getting yourself where you're ready to go. Some people like to do like visualization exercises or meditation, or, you know, think about what they want to achieve that day, or, you know, go over their to-do list. That's all fine. A lot of that's really personal. But the most important things are to get your mind and your body ready for what's important to you. You know, Ryan doesn't need to go through about his to-do list necessarily first thing in the morning, because the first thing on it is work out. So until he works out, it doesn't matter the rest of the items on that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very correct. I mean, it's what I do. It's my job. Part of my job is doing this. And so, you know, of course I enjoy it. It's an awesome job. But that's the thing. And that's why I won't even, you know, I used to look and check, you know, see if I got emails from Andy or Jarlo or someone like that. But to be honest, recently I don't even do that. I wake up, I come here, I do my thing, and then I check. Because to be honest, if they're, you know, if I have something in my mind and I'm thinking about work while I'm upside down in my handstands, it kind of, you know, defeats the purpose of what I'm really trying to do. So I want to be sure that I'm clear for my time, and then later be able to spend the time necessary for my work for the rest of everyone else.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think that's great for morning. Let's talk about evening a little bit. So, you know, whereas the morning is preparing your mind and body, you know, evening is kind of like debriefing and kind of getting ready to shut down so you can also have a great day tomorrow. So what are some of the things that you like to do in the evening for those purposes, both mentally and physically?
Yeah, it's of course probably different for me than a lot of people out there, because I work out multiple times throughout the day. My morning workouts are skill work, and then in the early evenings is conditioning. So it's pretty full on. So because it is the evening, my body is already good and ready for that workout. Mentally, it's also trying to calm my mind down. That's the big thing, because it's probably been a pretty hectic day. I've already had a couple workouts. I've been online answering questions, and I've also probably taught a couple classes. And, you know, not to mention other little things throughout the day that have happened. So in order to make sure that my workout is successful, and what I mean by successful is that I can actually do what I had planned to do within the workout, then I need to make sure that I can kind of clear my head and get my head focused on what's going to be going on. This also means that, as far as nutrition-wise goes, that if I need to have something, like let's say I don't drink coffee in the afternoons anymore, but let's say maybe I want to take a, hate to say this, like a pre-workout type drink, I'll make sure that I have it early enough so that it doesn't affect whatever I'm going to be doing. So let's say that you work at an office and you get done at 5 o'clock, and you have to, you know, you're in your car and you have to drive an hour to the gym or something like that. If that's your case, that's a good time for you mentally to get into your happy place. I know that driving in traffic can be a real pain in the ass. But, you know, when you're driving and you're going to the gym, if you let little things bother you when you're on the way to the gym, then you're probably going to have a pretty messed up workout. So, you know, whatever your situation, what I suggest is try and kind of clear your head and let yourself put everything to the side so that you can focus on your workout. Physically, though, this is a good time to really push yourself, because if that's your day for pushing yourself, because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you're good and ready. You've had the whole day for your body to kind of warm up, and so that when you step into the gym or wherever you do your workout, get her done. That's the thing. After that, though, it's time to really bring everything down. You know, eat dinner, relax, make sure that you're doing everything possible to let yourself sleep. And that's the big thing in the evening, is trying not to stay up too late. But if you do happen to be a person that works out very late at night,
it's going to be hard to sleep.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's going to be really tough to sleep. But if that's your only option, then hey, that's your only option. So it all comes down to lifestyle. And so you know, if you can't do a morning workout and you can only do a really late workout at night, then just make it work for you. And that's all you can do. Yeah, I've just said a lot, but I don't know if I said anything really at all. Anything about that?
Yeah, well, so let's talk about some of the specifics, because I think this is a good chance to talk about some specific things, and also this gets into our next topic a little bit too. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, and I actually have a pretty detailed routine that I go through at night that, I mean, I stop working when dinner is ready, and then I don't do, you know, then, you know, the next few hours until my wife and my daughter go to bed, you know, that's family time, you know. But then after that, I've got a little bit more time to myself, you know. And that's when I'll do some stretching and stuff, and I have different things that I do, but what I want to stress is maybe that a lot of the details aren't quite as important. Yeah, it's great if you have, you know, some water to keep yourself hydrated while you're sweating at night, but then some people, if they try to drink water before they sleep, they end up having to wake up and go to the bathroom, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little individual, but, you know, definitely don't load up a bunch of coffee at night. Don't have a lot of sweet stuff, because that's basically, it's going to ramp your metabolism up and make it harder for you to get good rest for the first couple hours of sleep. Something like a little bit of magnesium, maybe 300 to 500 milligrams of magnesium before, maybe a half hour before you sleep, can really help with resting, with hormonal balance to get good sleep. Another thing is not to get a lot of bright light pointed at your eyes. You know, that means TVs, computer monitors, wow, iPhones, and bright lamps. Those bright lights, the light hitting your eyes, releases hormones that tell your body that it's still daytime out and will keep you awake, you know. So you want to start gradually, maybe the hour before you're planning to actually go to sleep, just kind of ramping down on all this stimulus, you know. Mm-hmm. But the details aren't as important, you know. You don't need to go to sleep on a certain kind of mattress with certain kinds of curtains and, you know, a certain temperature in the room. I mean, if you figure out what optimal for you is with all that stuff and you can do it, that's great. But for most people, it's not nearly as important, you know? So, yeah, Ryan and I both like taking, because we're Japanese, we both like taking a bath before, before bed. And that helps with the kind of winding down thing. But a lot of people don't do that in the States or other parts of the world. And that's fine too. It's not essential. You know, and that's really the thing. There's a lot of things you could do, but don't worry so much about all the details. The important thing is that you have a good routine that you follow that works for you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, you know, what brand of magnesium you take. Okay? And so this is what I want to get into a little bit in the next few minutes about details that don't matter. Because we get asked questions about this stuff all the time. Questions like, you know, how many grams of protein should I take if I'm this height and this weight? Well, it really depends on a lot of stuff, and it really doesn't matter, you know, to be honest. You know, exactly how high should my P-bars be proportional to my height? Does that matter, Ryan?
No, it's similar to, you know, what is the exact mat that you are using in your video so that I can achieve the same jump height as blah, blah. Yeah. What? I mean, seriously?
Yeah, you know. Here's a question that surprises me that we've gotten about focus flexibility several times, actually. And if it had just been one person, I would have been like, huh, okay. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions. None of these people are bad people. But it's a really good example of being focused on the wrong thing. So in focus flexibility, Jarlo is demonstrating stretching exercises and Amber is showing how to do them. And for some of the shoulder stretches, Jarlo uses a fold-up blue gymnastics mat, basically for Amber to put her arms on to show how to stretch the shoulder. And we've gotten like dozens of emails, literally dozens of emails asking us, what is the specific brand and specification of the blue mat we need for the stretch? No. You don't need a blue mat to stretch. You can use a box.
And that was just a mat that we had lying around that we were like, okay,
that's
just
what Jarlo had.
Yeah.
You know, use a stack of books, use a sofa, use a chair, use the floor. It doesn't matter. The mat is not the thing that makes the stretch effective. The stretch is based on putting your body in the right position and doing the correct protocol. Don't worry about the mat. It doesn't matter. These are the kind of details that don't matter. There are details that do matter. Correct form, you know, of the exercise. That matters a lot. Details that don't matter are, you know, like precise resting periods.
Yeah.
You know, focus on the details. Well, for one, if you're using any of our programs, focus on the details we give you. Because the reason we give you those details is because we've decided that they're the most important ones. You know, yeah. There's a lot of things that maybe aren't clear, but if there's really detailed stuff that just isn't mentioned at all, there's a good chance it's not as important as the stuff that is mentioned. Now, if there's a detail that isn't clear, definitely ask that question.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people throw themselves into fits where they're like, oh my God, I gotta know the precise angle or ratio of something, you know. I can't even think of some of these detailed questions that people come up with, and they worry about these little details that don't matter. What do you think about it, Ryan? I mean, because there's a lot of things.
I was going to even expand on what you said about the programs that we have. We, for lack of a better term, prescribe that particular set and rep range because we feel that it's a good thing to shoot for. The thing is, it's important. But you're going to have to understand that you are different. Every single person is different. So if I tell you to rest for 1 minute, you know, it might be that you're able to get back and perform another set of whatever exercise you're performing in 30 seconds and be just fine. It's tough because if you get so hung up on the numbers, if you get so hung up on what other people are doing, you forget to listen to what your body is telling you. And really, by just listening to your body and listening to what you want to do, really, you're going to end up progressing faster. So, for example, if a person sends me an email and says, could you tell me the exact way that you eat? Well, what is that going to do to help you, to be perfectly honest? Yeah, you could kind of see how I eat, but it's really not going to help you because the way I eat is by feeling. And so, for example, depending on what I'm doing, I'm going to make adjustments to my food. There's no exact program or way to eat that is going to be okay for every single person out there. So the important thing is understanding what is good for you. It doesn't matter if Jarlo's using a blue panel mat that is 2 feet in height and has, you know, 10 dents here from blah, 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 or it's 10 years old or whatnot. Like, no, it just matters is, are you doing the work? Are you trying to figure out what's good for you? And are you getting results? And that's the most important thing. Yeah. So, That's what I feel.
Exactly. And it just goes back to like those routines. We can tell you what is a good template for a routine in the morning and the evening, but you know, there's no specific ultimate recipe for your smoothie that you should have. I hate smoothie recipes. Like, why does every fitness website have a blog post about smoothie recipes? You know, except ours. You know, I'm not going to tell you that you should start your day with, like, you know, the specific CNS activating metabolism burning protocol. Like, that's just all BS. Those details don't matter. The details that do matter are that you just prepare yourself for the day to right. operate in a way that's gonna allow you to do the things that you need to get done. And when your workout comes around, you know, if you can't get the precise number of reps, you know, do the reps you can as well as you can. That's what matters. And a precise resting period doesn't matter. You don't need to choose the exact number of seconds that was proven in some Russian strength manual to offer optimal hypertrophy in all cases for everyone all the time ever, because no one's ever proven that. You know? Mm-hmm. So don't stress over it. Just do the exercises, rest, and do more exercises. And that's what you need to focus on. Get the broad strokes before you worry about the fine details. Most nice. People who are asking detailed questions don't even have the basics down.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes, that's you nailed it right there, man. That's it. Don't be worrying about this small points and just, oh yeah, how should my pinky be when I'm performing? No. Just first focus on the basics. And once you get those down and after you've done them a gazillion hours, then you can start worrying about those finer details. And yep. To be honest, if you get the basics down, some of those finer details are just going to appear and you're going to understand them later.
They take care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Cool. All right.
Enough about that.
Yeah. So that's all we want to talk about. Please just focus on the broad strokes. Focus on the most important stuff. And yeah, there are details that matter. You know, do things with correct form. Don't do anything that injures you. But those are the main things you need to worry about. All the little tiny minute things that you could think of probably will get ironed out if you just take care of the broad strokes. So don't worry too much about it. I hope this podcast has been really, really exciting for you and changed your life in innumerable ways. Please make your checks out to Gold Medal Bodies. We appreciate your support. Tell people about the podcast if you enjoyed it, seriously, and we'll get another one up for you guys soon.
Thank you.